Welcome to the Nerd Party.
A warm Jedi greetings to you. Welcome to Aggressive Negotiations, your Star Wars podcast delving into the less explored corners of the Star Wars galaxy. I'm one of your hosts, Jedi Master John Mills, and with me as always is my dear, dear friend, Matthew Rushing. Matt, how you doing?
Hey, John. Hey, John, can you hear me? I'm coming from one of those unexplored corners on Nar Shaddaa. Can you hear me? Oh, there we go.
Oh, Matt. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We lost transmission there. Matt's going to be trapped on Nar Shaddaa.
Do not want to be trapped there. It smells bad. But happy Sithmas, John.
Yes, happy Sithmas. Happy Jedi year or
happy
something.
Happy Life Day.
That's in November. Anyway, you know, today's show is going to be in our tradition of being a little bit different because we like to do things a little bit differently here. And it is a show where we're going to talk about our wish list for Star Wars, our overarching hopes and dreams for where the franchise goes, how the story group, how Disney, whomever, what we think they could do to make it an even better Wonderland for fans. So before we kick that off, though, I want to urge everybody to go ahead and reach out to the show at the Jedi Masters on Twitter. If you have any questions or you want to interact with us, that's a great way to get in touch with us. Or you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, click on Aggressive Negotiations, and while you're there, you will see all of the other shows that we're offering here on the Nerd Party Network, which is reachable on Twitter at @joinnerdparty. So let's go ahead and kick it off, Matt. What do you want to see? Give me something you want to see in the coming days from Star Wars.
John, I think it's no surprise, this will be number one, a Kenobi movie. We don't have to talk a lot about it. Everybody knows that's what I want.
Wait, what? No, wait. You want a Kenobi movie?
Yes.
No. See, the thing is, I thought you wanted the Max Rebo story.
You know, that would be cool, too. I think a great book story on here, maybe our five comic issue series about Max Rebo and the band and how they get together. That would be great. Or maybe how Max Rebo got his, groove back.
Max Rebo gets his groove back. Yeah, you know, they did that.
After what happened with Return of the Jedi, he really needed some help. So,
you know, there's no evidence that he was still on the ship when it blew up, Matt. You have to show me a body. And even if he was on the ship, Darth Maul has established that Max Rebo could have come back as a half robot, roundy thingy or
piano
playing thing. Yeah.
Yes.
No, yeah. But like the round organ that he plays.
Yes. You got to have one of those. I don't want those dulcet tones of Max Rebo, though, to be damaged in any way.
No, that's true. That's true. You know, they could have like a story where Max Rebo is, hurt and they find him and he has to retrain his voice. It's sort of like when Meatloaf lost his voice after Bad Outta Hell and he had to do all this weird swami stuff to get his voice back and acupuncture.
It's weird because Max Rebo and Meatloaf are pretty much the same size, too.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, if you have Max Rebo and he's been wounded on Tatooine, you can have him appear in the Kenobi movie that you want.
There you go. Exactly.
Kenobi could be... No, that would be... Oh, that's the epilogue. That's like the little epilogue at the end.
Yes,
they flash forward.
Yes.
Obi-Wan's spirit shows back up on Tatooine and helps Max Rebo back to health. Oh, no, It's like Luke on Hoth. You know, he's laying there in the sand dune. He looks up and he's like, Max Rebo. So, there you go. But, okay.
Hello there, right. Max Rebo. I'm here to help you back to health.
But that whole Kenobi thing. People say they want a Kenobi movie. I do. I want to corner you on this. People say they want a Kenobi movie. They want to know about his time on Tatooine. What specifically do you think could happen in that Kenobi movie? If you had your dream story become realized, what is your dream story for that Kenobi movie?
I mean, I guess my dream story has to do with
Darth Maul, you know, and him. I mean, we already know from Rebels, he's found out that Kenobi is alive. I think that that's just an incredible story. The only other story that I can think of that would be really fascinating would be to see Obi-Wan come out of retirement on Tatooine just once, on only once, because Bail calls on him, and adding to the fact that, you know, you once served my father in the Clone Wars, and you know, your friends, obviously, you know, from Leia. So I think that could be a cool story.
Yeah.
But really, it's, I think it's the Darth Maul aspect. It's either that, or you just do a story kind of like John Jackson Miller did in Kenobi about his frustrations of learning to not be so Jedi-ish.
You know, I would actually like to see something, a Western along the lines of like Outlaw Josie Wales, and have it end up with, you know, a regiment of clones shows up. But we find out, because remember Obi-Wan's line specifically, and Lucas was very big on keying on paying attention to the specific words. He says, "I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father." So Obi-Wan has in fact hung it up. It's not, he doesn't carry the lightsaber anymore. He's done. He's walked away. He doesn't use the Force, anything like that. And I would twist it and I would say he's even fallen in love and set up a little life for himself.
Okay.
Bunch of clones find him. Throw Darth Maul in there if you want to. The Palpatine has said, "You want to get back in my good graces? Take care of this problem." And so you wind up having the big battle. Maybe the wife gets killed. It echoes. He suddenly gets a bigger understanding of Anakin. And, you know, and that sort of thing, you know, the pain and the loss that Vader is going through maybe gives him some sympathy. And, you know, and then he goes off and he just decides to live as a hermit after that. And he becomes the Obi-Wan that we know, Ben, you know, by the time it comes back around.
Another thing that they could do, and I think would be fascinating, is what if Bo-Katan calls for help? And because of the connection, obviously, with Satine, he goes to help her. Something like that could be very interesting. But I also like that idea of the domesticated Obi-Wan who is drawn back into battle. Almost, you know, the Godfather 3. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
No, nothing like Godfather 3. Never like Godfather 3 under any circumstances. Unless you work in somebody...
Just that one line is good stuff.
Now, if you work in a hut... and his name is Lucchese, I'll give you some wiggle room right there. But one other story I would pitch out there for the Kenobi movie is a line that I have focused on in Return of the Jedi nonstop is, and I've always loved it. I love the way it's delivered. I love the way Vader looks in the shot, is when Luke is confronting Vader on Endor and he says, "Come with me." And Vader takes a second and he says, "Obi-Wan once thought as you do," right? I would love to see something where, I mean, maybe we get two movies, who knows, whatever. But Obi-Wan has hung it up, but he decides out of respect for Padme's memory, he makes one last appeal. He goes to Vader, but there's no fight. There's nothing, like Vader keeps trying to fight him. Obi-Wan refuses to fight him. And Obi-Wan keeps trying to appeal to what he thinks is, you know, the human being still in there. Vader rejects it. Vader hurts him. Vader, you know, whatever, you know, work that out in your story conferences. And that spurs Obi-Wan to later say he's more machine now than man, twisted and evil, because Obi-Wan actually tried to go back and redeem him.
I've got it. We're writing this on the fly, just like Char and Tristan.
Yes, over on Punch It, also on the
Nerd Party
Network.
So, the reason he runs into Vader is because he's helping Bo-Katan, and Vader shows up with the Empire to put the smack down, and Obi-Wan realizes this is his last chance maybe to try and reach Anakin one last time.
They get isolated somewhere.
Yes, and
oh, wait a minute.
Vader keeps trying to fight him, and Obi-Wan can is able to use the light side of the Force in a way he's just not, and he's able to keep himself away from Vader. So it's not a fight, but it's a plea for come back.
Yes, come back. No. Here's another twist. He said, you know, he's saying, come back, you know, come back with me. Vader has gotten trapped somehow, pinned underneath something. He's at Obi-Wan's mercy. And I see a moment where Vader's laying there and he's having trouble. And, he, you know, you can hear, you know, sort of like wheeze breathing the way he does in Return of the Jedi when Luke is, you know, beating him and everything. But Obi-Wan is standing there. And he's, you know, he says basically the appeals have run out, and he lights his lightsaber and he stands there, and Vader could say something like, go ahead, you couldn't do it before, do it now. But there's this tinge of like what is human in Anakin is almost saying like, set me free, do it, please kill me. But Obi-Wan, for whatever, Obi-Wan has to run because the stormtroopers show up or something like that. So we never know, would Obi-Wan have killed him at that moment. I think that would have been so cool to find Vader again at Obi-Wan's mercy. Obi-Wan, for whatever reason, unable to do it, so that when it comes back around in A New Hope, that fight, there's even more story behind that fight. I think that would be cool.
I love it. I think it's great. And I think the fact that we can think of all these things that you could do with Kenobi in this time period, and again, it's 19 years. I don't think that the guy spent 19 years on one planet all by himself the whole time. I think something happened to him.
Perhaps it was a very, very challenging one-player game.
He could have played a lot of, you know, one-player Pong. So,
what if he played all the sides in Axis and Allies?
I mean, that game takes long enough just playing, you know, with a few people, but I can't imagine trying to do it by yourself. So playing for everyone. Okay, so we've talked enough about my one idea, and obviously we could talk a million years about a Kenobi film.
Sure.
What's something that's on your wish list that you'd love to see Disney do, or the books do, or comics do, or, you know, animation do with Star Wars?
Wow. You know, I mean, I think you're right to call out the Kenobi movie. I mean, you know, if you want to cause the fans to just melt down, do that. Outside of that, something that I would really, really like to see them do, although I don't think they ever will, but something I would really like to see them do is to finally do the live action series. Lucas said he had 50 scripts already written. And I'm sure, you know, I know that there have been some things brought back that have, you know, made their way into the comics and probably repurposed for, you know, different movies and everything like that. You know, Saul Guerrera's story coming, you know, and being told in sort of like bits and pieces here and there. But if he had 50 hours of television written, you know, which I thought he was nutty enough for insisting that he have 100, because that's just, that's always going to be my great frustration is those 50 scripts. I want to see them. We're in a different TV market. 50 shows is like 20 seasons on Netflix now. Do
That's
it,
man. Very true. I completely agree with you. I think that material needs to show up somewhere and somehow. And we know, like you said, that parts of it are being put into other places, and that's wonderful. But I think the idea of doing a Netflix-type live-action series, it's, you know, they do it so well, and it would just be fantastic, and you could explore a very interesting part of the Star Wars galaxy in a way that we've never gotten to do it before, and I would love to see that happen. So I am right there with you. That would be fantastic to see.
All right, so what's next on your list? What's out there? You know what, though? Let's not limit ourselves to just TV shows or books or anything like that. Is there some sort of something from the archives that you want to see released in a book form, or something brought back, you know, something like that?
I would love to see Rinsler go back and be able to do the massive making of books for the prequels. Because those books that he did for the original trilogy are just incredible. Now, those behind-the-scenes books were written for the prequels, but not to that extent. And I would love to see that research happen all over again, go back, get Lucas involved, talk to him, but I doubt that that's going to happen. And then, of course, we've already talked about on this show, we need the complete recordings for episodes 2 and 3. It has to happen.
The complete recordings for episodes 2 and 3. What do you mean?
Well, you know, episode 1 got the complete recording.
The soundtrack. Yeah, the soundtrack. I'm sorry, yes. I wasn't tracking you with you for a second. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
so those are things that I would pull out of the archives that I would love to see that I just don't think are ever going to happen, but that those are definitely on my wish list.
But why wouldn't Disney do that? Those soundtracks are just sitting right there. Just release them
it's
officially.
Gold. I mean, bums. Legitimately, you can put it on iTunes for $20. You've got $20 from like, you know, a million fans, like at the snap of a finger.
Exactly. You want to make your money back. Yeah. And we know those recordings exist. We have it on very good authority that those recordings exist.
Yes,
and
we
do. It would be insane for them to not do it. Now see, something else that I want to see them do is I want to see them, this will never, ever happen. This is pie in the sky dreaming. And I, you know, the complete recordings send me down this road mentally. And I applaud you for pulling something that's off of, you know, a longstanding wish list of mine. But I still want to see them go back and do radio drama versions of the prequels.
I want
to see the radio drama treatment that they gave to the original trilogy, and I want them to do it for the prequels. It can be done. It can be done cheaply. And we're in a podcast universe, man. They're half-hour episodes. You're telling me that if you did a radio drama version of the prequels, people wouldn't be downloading the living bejeebus out of those things? You would have so many listeners.
Especially if you got some of the Clone Wars people back to do the voices, like Obi-Wan and Anakin and that kind of stuff.
Get whoever.
They would love it.
Yeah, get whoever back. I agree with you about the voice talent. Get those people back to do the voice talent. But at the same time, like anybody listening, if you have not listened to the Star Wars radio dramas, I strongly encourage you to go ahead, purchase them, and listen to them because they are magnificent. Lucas sold the rights to his old film school for $1 so that they could do it. And they produced for NPR these radio dramas that are 30 minutes per episode. And it turns Star Wars into like a 13-hour radio drama epic. It uses all of the original music and sound effects. Empire Strikes Back was 10 episodes. Star Wars was 13 episodes, so it was 6 hours, 6.5 hours. But then Empire Strikes Back was 10 episodes. Jedi got a little short shrift because they came back so many years later. But you have the facilities, you have the talent, and it's a podcast world. Do it, man. You can do it. Or just humor me and re-release these things in a remastered format.
Oh, yeah. That's something that would be really cool, too. I mean, and it would take some work for them to do, go back and remaster all the audio and get them just sounding really crisp. But no, I completely agree with you. Both of those are incredible ideas.
Oh, thanks, man. What else you got on your list?
I would actually like to see more Ahsoka. So I would love to see her in book form again. I enjoyed the first one, but I really do feel like it felt like a setup to a trilogy, as we talked about on the 602 Club. So give us more Ahsoka in that form. Mm-hmm. Bring her back in some way with Dave Filoni in animation or something, whatever it is. My dream is to see her in an animated series with Luke Skywalker between episodes 6 and 7. There's 30 years there. I would love for her to show up and her and Luke kind of go on a force quest, you know?
I do not discount your wish list because this is a wish list. This is pie in the sky stuff. I think that sounds like a really great idea. You know, because the point of this wish list for anybody, you know, yelling at us right now or saying, you can't do that with Ahsoka. Nobody would let you. This is our wish list. This isn't our realistic list.
This is our not so grown up Christmas Star Wars list. Okay. Come on, guys.
There you go.
We're all children at heart here.
There you go. Do you think that a big hit song instead of Christmas Shoes was Christmas Lightsaber? Christmas Blaster.
It's a lot more dangerous of a song. You know, you want to be a lot. Did you ever see that old commercial where the kid gets the lightsaber for Christmas? He lights it up and he cuts his dad in half, and his dad's like chest falls into the rest of his body. It was awesome.
I have to say something that I would really like to see, and I know this is going to sound crazy, absolutely crazy, but like we said, this is our crazy wish list. If Harry Potter can do it, why can't Star Wars have a stage play?
That's actually kind of a cool idea.
Why not?
No, I kind of love that. You could do a very intimate story.
Yep.
And do it about, you know, just some characters. And in fact, God, even I'm thinking, wouldn't it be a cool stage play to do a story about Anakin and Obi-Wan in that time period that we just read the comic on last week, John? And it could be what we were talking about, a more intimate setting where they're stranded on a planet and they're not sure if they're going to make it off. You know, they're waiting for the Jedi rescue, but it leads to lots of interesting conversations as, you know, plays are want to do. So I love it.
The one thing I would ask is that they don't make it a musical. No musicals.
No, I don't need a Star Wars musical.
No. Let's make it a real play. And in case anybody thinks that this is too crazy, there was all the rage in the 1990s was releasing film scripts for movies.
Right.
And it was a whole thing. You know, you would go into Suncoast Motion Picture Company and they had the scripts for like Rocky and Star Wars scripts. Yep. Never did anything with them, but I had them.
Yeah, I didn't even really look inside.
I did. I read them and I was like, oh, so that's how a script works. And on one of my journeys in a bookstore one time in the 1990s, I found a script for Terminator 2. And in the script for Terminator 2, the edition that they published, there were actual stage directions for talking about how you would do it if it were a stage play. And I remember that jumping out at me because they were like, oh, you would want to use a laser light and it would do this and that. And I remember looking at it and thinking, Terminator 2 is a stage play? That's insane. But it's not crazy. It's crazy like a fox. It'd be great. Go ahead. Have a Star Wars stage play.
Yeah. I think that would be a really cool thing to see.
You would make money hand over fist. You would get simpletons like myself to go to Broadway. So there you go.
Oh, you know what else would be cool?
What's that?
You know, now, Rinsler did a great job of this in those making of Star Wars books. But what I would love to see is a complete reproduction of all of Lucas's original notes from Star Wars. So from draft to draft to draft, and put into font that we could all read, you know, as much as I love Lucas and his legal pads and his own handwriting, you know, put it in a way, but so that we can see that progression as they move. I just think that would just be something I would eat up. And like you were talking about all the way back, I think it was on Words with Nerds, and you may have mentioned it on our show too. I can't even remember, you know, your dulcet tunes, they just kind of are lodged into my brain. So
when they start telling you to do things when I'm not actually talking, that's when you get
concerned.
That's
the scary part. No, that hasn't happened yet, thank God. So all that to say, it'd be awesome if, you know, Callus was a name that had been in the Star Wars lore, and now it's been pulled out again, you know, because you saw it in the...
The holiday special.
Yeah.
Star Wars holiday special.
Those kind of things where just all of these ideas, you know, people always talk about, George just made that up on the fly or whatever. But George had so much in that original screenplay that he just kind of reworks, picks through, tweaks here, you know. And I think that's what would be fascinating to see about the idea for this book is just having those notes so you could read through and see the way that his mind worked as he created the stories.
You know, I'm glad that we're talking about this. Something that I think is also a pie in the sky wish list as much as an Ahsoka movie or radio dramas of the prequels at this point is I want Disney to release its Iron Grip and let me know some real behind the scenes stuff on the movies they're making.
Yes.
Lucas was always very upfront about the process. He was open door policy. He let people know what was going on, especially in the prequel era. I want that again. I want that I want to read something as exhaustively researched on the Force Awakens development as the Rinsler books on the making of the original trilogy, because there were hints when I read the Art of Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yes, yes.
There were
things
that jumped out where I said, wait, what? Wait, what? I want to know the blow by blow.
Yeah.
And I think that they're very much underestimating how badly Star Wars fans like us want to know those things. We want all the ugly details.
Oh, they have underestimated in a bad way, John.
I mean, if they, you know, I want to know if somebody like pitched a fit about something. I want to know if there was a fight. I want to know if Lucas swung into the offices one day and started hurling his own feces at people because he was mad about some change that they made. I want to know these things. Now I have an image in my brain, and so do you, that is just unpleasant.
Yeah. On top of that, and building on that, I think it would be incredible to have a documentary filmmaker come in and sit down with Lucas for 10 episodes or something. I don't know the length, but, you know, an hour each, just talking about his creative work, specifically with Star Wars and Indiana Jones. So it's talking through all three original films, the prequels, Clone Wars specifically too. I would really love a few episodes on Clone Wars, and then of course the Indiana Jones series. Because, and this is the reason, I want to hear from George in his own words before George can't sit down and do that. And I hate that we have to say that, because but George is getting older, and I would really love to hear and allow him to be able to explain in his own words, you know, just, again, a documentary style about his different works, specifically Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
And I would also like, you know, I'm going to add this to the wish list, because Lucas is synonymous with Star Wars, let's face it. And so I can group this into my wish list. I want some city, whatever mayor, whatever city council, whoever needs to get their head out of their butt, and let the man build his Dern Museum already.
Yeah, the one that he wants to pay for.
Right. I want to come in and I want to build something that people are going to fly from around the country and world to see and pour tourist dollars into your city. Oh, I'm sorry, Chicago. You're too good for that? Fine. Why is he going back to San Francisco? Bring it. You know what, George? Put it in my house. I will let people walk through my house if you agree to sleep here once a week.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it is, I'm right there with you, and I want to echo your frustration, because watching that happen over this last year was so discouraging. And legitimately, George wants to pay for the whole thing himself. It's not going to cost the city a dime. It's only going to earn the city that it's going to be in money. The only other thing I'll say is, if it's in San Francisco, that means when I go visit my good friend Nick Anastasio, friend of the show, that I'll get to go to the museum too. So, you know.
Well, never mind the fact. This isn't, you hammer on he wants to pay for it himself. This is not like one of those wackadoodle stadium deals where they say, oh, well, we're going to build the football stadium here, and we're going to give them billions of dollars of tax breaks, and they'll pay us $10, and we'll have our traffic completely blown up for the next ever. Like, this is something. This is a philanthropist doing a philanthropic thing that's going to do nothing but benefit your city and improve your skyline. What is wrong with people? You know what it is? They're all a bunch of Palpatines. That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
That is.
That is exactly what it is. Okay. We got that off our chest. I've got, I think, probably just one more question. So we both love the literary universe of Star Wars. We have enjoyed the
I have a love-hate relationship with it, as we all know.
But let's just say, when it's really good, we're getting things like Bloodline and Lost Stars and Dark Disciple.
Don't speak of what we get when it's bad. Please don't. Don't bring the conversation
down.
I'm not
going
to
go there. I'm not going there.
No.
So anyway, if you had a wish for a novel that we haven't seen yet that you would love to see happen, what do you want?
Grievous. I want a novel
story
about
okay.
Grievous before we got that hint in that Clone Wars episode. I want the story of Grievous before he became the Grievous that we know. I want Grievous as the warlord. I want Grievous as the organic being. I want to know more about Grievous. They have explored Tarkin. They have explored Dooku. They have actually, there was a very good book about Dooku that they where they explored. But I really, really, I want to know more about Grievous. I love Grievous. Grievous is so cool. He doesn't get enough love. Everybody forgets about Grievous. But Grievous was the character in Revenge of the Sith that put that movie over the top for me, where that felt the most like the villain, you know, the side villain they got for that was just spot on and made me giggle every time I saw him on screen because I loved him and he was ballsy and different. And I want to find out about that character. I do. I want to find out more about him. What made him, you know, because in the Visionaries comic that came out in 2005, the story that they had at the time, and I think this was probably from Lucas or inspired by Lucas or whatever, was that Dooku had set him up and like rigged the shuttle that he was on to crash land. And then he blamed the Jedi for it. And he actually, the first lightsaber that Grievous ever had was Sifo Dyas's. And the, which of course contradicts the Clone Wars, but you know, I'm just telling this story right now. But imagine if he got an infusion of blood from a dead Jedi or something like that. And then they, you know, you get in the thing because the whole drive of the story was that Grievous, his big thing was, after he was awoken as, you know, the Grievous that we saw in episode 3, you know, somebody referred to him as a droid and he lost his mind and completely wiped out the Magna Guards. And he said, I am not a droid. I am General Grievous. And it's like, wow. So they could have a story where it's like he, in a sense, he's like Han Solo with technology, like in the sense that he lives with it, but he doesn't love it. And then to get trapped in a droid body to fuel his anger so that Dooku can manipulate him, that would be an awesome story to watch. Although in the Clone Wars, he's come to accept his improvements, as they are called, when he's getting worked on at his
That's right, in the lair of Grievous. Great
episode,
too.
So fine, spin it around, change that story, but he becomes a guy, you know, you could almost make a commentary on like plastic surgery and appearance. He becomes obsessed with improving himself. Until eventually he just replaces his body with machinery. So that's the book I'd want to see. What do you have sitting in the back of your brain? One last thing you'd want to see on your wish list.
You know what I'd really like to see, I think, that would be really fascinating is it's between two things. Either unfinished Clone Wars stuff that they're never going to be able to do anywhere else, so they give it to us in a book. That's great. But the other one, the idea that, and again, it's a really unexplored time period, which is before the Phantom Menace. And I'd love to see the story of Obi-Wan being picked by Qui-Gon Jinn and their beginning of their relationship. I think that would be fascinating because it would be really interesting to see the Jedi at that time period and get to spend more time with Qui-Gon Jinn.
Love it. Plus one like endorse. Totally on board.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, I thought you would. I mean, he is your favorite.
Of course he is. He's the best Jedi ever. Period.
Oh, man.
Sentence,
well,
Matt.
You know what? You know what else is on my wish list, John?
What's that?
It's for everybody to check out Loot Crate.
Yes. Yes, that is a great idea. Where can they find Loot Crate, Matt?
They can find Loot Crate at lootcrate.com/nerdparty. They can enter the code NERDPARTY to get a discount on the incredible subscription service that Loot Crate is. It's a wonderful box full, just chock full of amazing geek goodies that you can't get anywhere else. Each month has a different theme, and it's chock full of goodies, John, that you can't get anywhere else. So make sure you go over there to lootcrate.com/NERDPARTY, enter the code NERDPARTY, and when you do, you help support the show.
And another way that they can help support the show, Matt, I have a feeling that maybe there's a call to action for an iTunes review somewhere in there.
There is, John. And the reason is because, well, it's the holiday season and whoop-de-doo, and we'd love some reviews. So please give us some reviews over at iTunes at iTunes.com. Search for The Nerd Party. You can find all of our shows. You can find Aggressive Negotiations. And that really does help us grow. And we'd love to grow in the Star Wars podcasting community this year and have more people find the show. We know that you are a loyal listener here of Aggressive Negotiations and you want to help us out. So go over to iTunes, give us those star ratings and reviews. And when you do, you get mentioned on the show. We'll give you a big shout out and thank you. We'll probably even tweet about it too because we just love you guys so much for helping us out and helping the show grow. And we just want to say a huge thank you for all that you've done in supporting the show this year. We've had a blast and we are really looking forward to diving into so much more. In fact, John, I mean, I feel like we're going to probably be talking about Rogue One for quite a while. The implications of that.
I have a feeling that we'll be talking about Rogue One for quite a while. And if somebody wants to bug you about Rogue One, they can reach you on Twitter at
MattRushing02. They can also find me over on Trek FM's network. And you can look up the show's The Orb. You can also find me on the 602 Club, where I do our general geek show, just talking about all things geeky. Have a great time there. There's been so much that's come out this year that's fantastic, so make sure you check it out. So you're going to love it. And, of course, if you love Star Wars, and I know you do because you're listening to Aggressive Negotiations, check out Star Wars, the 602 Club collection, the godfather of this show. Now, John, you're just everywhere online as well, and if somebody would like to talk to you about Rogue One, where can they find you?
Just shout Kessel Junkie to the winds, and I'll show up like the ghost of Tom Joad. Or you can go over and you can listen to...
Siri, look up Kessel Junkie. Oh, you don't want to see what came up. Oh, no, God.
Oh,
turn it off, Siri. Turn it off.
I paid Apple to suppress those things. That's not very fair. I feel a little betrayed right here. This is a fine how do you do to find out. But you can also find me right here on the Nerd Party Network, co-hosting Great Shot Kid with Mike Schindler, talking about the works of Star Wars creators, both within and without the Star Wars galaxy. Co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig. And, of course, co-hosting Stage 9 with Mike Schindler over on the Trek FM network, where we explore Star Trek creators' work. And that's a lot of fun, too. So, Matt, I think there's only one thing left to say. I think it's time to close negotiations.
John, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.